This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Folks, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in lovely San Diego. Anything carbureted, fuel injected, or distributor related, sdcarb.com. He can do it all. Everything from classic cars to street cars to off-road cars to race cars. If it goes, Stan's got a fix. sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com. Driving a Porsche, BMW, or Mini Cooper, Black Forest Motorsports, where you need to be. 8066 Engineer Road in San Diego. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. They were at Qualcomm yesterday with the Porsche Club autocrossing at Qualcomm. That's what they're all about. They're into performance. They're into street normal driving. They're into your everyday car. 40 years experience. Black Forest Motorsports, ASC certified, Master Tech. Black Forest Automotive. Don't go anywhere else. All right. Hey, I did an interview last week with one of the young guns coming up the NASCAR ranks, Tyler Reddick. Check out this interview.
Hey, folks, guess who I got on the line? One of the up-and-coming drivers in the NASCAR series, Tyler Reddick. Tyler is pretty amazing. Back-to-back Xfinity Championships, drives the number 8 Chevy Camaro ZL1. How you doing today, Tyler?
I'm doing great. Just, going day by day, just trying to formulate our plan for the next race. And on top of that, just do everything we can to get us ready as we possibly know how to for the race that's coming up this weekend.
So, you really were outstanding, in the Xfinity Series. I mean, it just seems like everything you touched kind of turned to gold. You've come to NASCAR. What are some of the challenges that you faced that you didn't realize were going to be a concern, coming into the main series?
I was interested in seeing how the little bit of a longer race would kind of play into what my race looks like, and the extra added laps have been a benefit so far. So that's a good thing. The cars are a lot more difficult to drive by them or in dirty air and on the restarts, which, makes the restarts so much more important. And then outside of that, having a car that drives good in somewhat disturbed, dirty air is important, but finding that balance of speed and drivability is something everybody chases every single weekend, and finding that sweet spot is very hard. But a lot of that comes from just having the confidence in your team and your core group, and just coming up with a game plan and sticking to it from the moment you get there. That's probably the biggest thing.
So, I've been watching NASCAR, longer than I really care to admit, and I've noticed this year it seems like the Chevys are now getting together, the Fords are now getting together, and the Toyotas are now getting together. Do you think that's happening because of the air and the difficulty of passing, to where you actually need, partnerships to make things happen?
I actually think the ability to get runs to begin a pass has never been easier, but the difficulty of completing that pass and moving forward has become a lot more interesting. But, you definitely see that on the Cup side with, the plate races, on the super speedways, the manufacturers working together, trying to come up with game plans or whatever else it might be to just get in an edge and not really share that edge with your competition. So you'll see that on the Xfinity side, or on the Cup side, excuse me. But other than that, I think everyone kind of goes out there and they have a game plan for practice or, whatever the game plan might be. They go out there and they try and achieve their goals. And the goals we're trying to achieve are very difficult to achieve because the things we need to do with our cars, you know, we need to put ourselves in the worst position possible to try and expose our car's weaknesses. And it's hard to replicate that lap after lap after lap. So it's kind of a moving target, and it's kind of a guessing game as you go through practice to make those race cars as good as possible in traffic.
Right, and you never know when there's going to be a caution. I mean, you may have your game plan all planned out, but cautions are definitely the fly in the ointment because you can never predict a caution. So, you know, there's a lot of, planning out the day, but just have to, you really have to adjust accordingly as the race unfolds. And, you know, we all know mistakes are the last thing any race driver wants to have is a mistake, whether it be in pits or start or what have you. So, you know, it's, I guess you could almost say it's like a full-time job just getting to the other end.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, minimizing those mistakes become even more important on the Cup side with the elevated talent and the drivers to the busier pit road and every single spot you try and get back on those restarts. You're not just getting around, you know, a back marker car that's just there to start and run 20th. You're out there with, you know, 25 drivers that are there solely to win races. And that raises the stakes quite a bit. But, you know, that's what we want. That's why I wanted to make this step, as I saw, you know, the difference in competition and how much harder it is at that next level. And I was encouraged by the difficulty, and I wanted to go out and do everything I could to be the best at it.
Well, I tell you, you know, I love it when they do interviews with you afterwards. You can see whether you did well or didn't do as well as you like. You could see it in your expression, the way you talk, that, you know, you want to get to the front just like everybody else. But you just seem very motivated that it's going to happen. And it looks like, you know, 2020 might be the year for you. Do you kind of see it that way?
We got to make it that way. Whether we see it or don't, we have to see it. And that's not by just blindly believing in it. You have to go out with a great game plan and execute every single weekend. So that's what we've been trying to build up, is those great game plans. And this is, you know, I've only had 4 Cup starts now. But, you know, I feel like our game plan has been solid. My execution along the way needs to be more complete, more perfect. You know, the mistakes you can get away with an Xfinity car on pit road or other areas of the racetrack, your ability to rebound from those mistakes is a lot higher than the Cup Series. So you have to really focus on being precise. You have to still elevate yourself to being as fast as you can on pit road, in and out of the box, but you just can't afford to make those mistakes while being at the highest level possible. So it's a real challenge for sure.
Yeah, I know. Anybody in the Cup garage you look up to, you go to for advice, kind of like a mentor?
You know, with the SMC data that we have on these cars, that makes it very interesting. You know, you don't necessarily have to go and speak to a driver to learn how to get good at a racetrack. You pull up SMT and you kind of go to work like you're studying for a test. And that makes it difficult and interesting what the rookie veteran kind of exchange is like and what those relationships are like in the first year. But I found that watching Kevin Harvick's in car, you know, Kyle Busch, just to name a few, you can really pull up anybody and kind of go back through and watch and see what they do. So, you know, you can really study those drivers without ever really talking to them. And that's a very interesting thing nowadays. But, you know, there's some things that you can't learn from a data trace or from a program on your computer. And you know, just talking to those drivers in person about things that you don't see on those traces is important, but it's even more important to know what you're going to ask them when you get to that spot.
Well, you know, I've been talking to a lot of young drivers lately, and iRacing seems to be big as far as, especially a track that you have not been to, or maybe you've been to it, but prior to it, you try to get some laps on a computer with that race, whether it be, you know, and I noticed some of your things you do when you're not racing is you like to do ATVs, and I'm assuming the gaming, is that sort of like, do you do iRacing or anything like that just to stay sharp?
Well, I love gaming, but I actually don't do a whole lot of iRacing, so it's just an interesting exchange. I spent a lot of time playing video games growing up. I love iRacing, but I never got the rig because I realized if I got it, girlfriend would not be thrilled with the amount of time I spend on it, quote, studying for the race weekend. So I've stayed away from it, but I use the simulator we have at the shop. I use the Pratt & Miller Chevrolet simulator we have at Huntersville. I'm trying to take advantage of was more complicated and more of those literally, as they call it, driver in the loop simulators. So more simulators and other kinds of simulators that really put the driver in the closest possible situation to the real thing.
Gotcha. So I see here also you like working on cars. Are you sort of building your car collection up, and what kind of cars do you like the most? Hot rods, sports cars, what's your love?
Me personally, I absolutely love muscle cars. Modern is kind of what I've seen it stuck to more so than anything. I have a Camaro ZL1 LE that I drive on the racetrack. Then I also have one that I have sitting in my garage at home too. So
sweet.
They're a great car, they're a lot of fun. I just love cars that have a lot of horsepower, and there's a lot out there that'll fill that void for me.
Oh yeah, there's no argument there. Road course. Have you done much road course racing? Is that something that you enjoy or look forward to?
You know, the road courses have always been a challenge for me, but the challenge I've always been excited to get to and do the best that I possibly can once I get there. So yeah, they're really tough. I've had a tough time learning how to be a better driver on those road courses. But once I figure it out, there's nothing more rewarding. And that's what makes that challenge a lot of fun. And that's what makes the learning process fun for me. I feel like when I start to finish the race weekend, I continue to improve, and it really helps me along the way going back to the next event or to the next road course.
Yeah, well, park one of those ATVs, get yourself a go-kart. You can get a used one, and boy, I tell you what, that's what I grew up on, and they're just more fun than ever.
I believe it.
I know. You got to get yourself one, brother. All right, well, hey, man, it's really great talking to you. Hopefully I'll be able to chat with you later on down the road. We'll follow your career here in San Diego, and it has happened where people have called in and have actually won races after calling in. So if this gives you any luck, we're here for you, brother.
Hey, hopefully hopefully I'm one of those guys for you. Thank you.
All right, I look forward to it. All right, Tyler Reddick, driving the number 8 Camaro. Thanks, buddy. You take care.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. New, used, makes no difference. They'll take care of you just like family. They have the largest commercial department in San Diego County. I think they're number 2 in the United States. John and does a really, really good job in the fleet department. And El Cajon Ford is a big, big supporter of Barona Circle Track. In fact, Paul's going to race out there this year. I think he's taking just about every division, him and his kids. And they're coming back full force. Right now we got Dirt Dude on the line. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Hanging in there, Dave. How about yourself?
Just living the dream. How about you?
Doing some yard work here for it range, trying to catch up on all my duties for this month before, we start going back in a race season.
Yeah, it's just right around the corner. By the way, folks, the schedule is up, baronaspeedway.com. Check it out. I personally would recommend going to every single race, but if you have to pick out a few of your favorites, it's all right there on the website, plus a whole lot more.
We have buried the season so far. I mean, April 4th is going to be our opening day, and we're featuring the Lightning Sprints, IMCA Mods, the IMCA Sport Compact, which is basically the import cars, street stocks, pure stocks, pony stocks, and Nomad Dwarfs, and our junior drivers, which are going to be at a lot of the races. Mm-hmm. And throughout the season, we have sprinkling and bringing in the Sport Mods, or what do they call him, like B-Mod. And then we're going to have some dates with some carts, SoCal Oval Carters, and SoCal Mowers are going to be in some of those dates too. So they all kind of vary.
But you'll keep the website up to date so people can always just, prior to the race, you know, they can always take a look and see what's coming up.
Yeah, and it's subject to a lot of change. I talked to the mower guys a couple weeks ago when I was working with them out in Indio for Monster Trucks, and they said that they got three races with us right now, and that they're hoping to get maybe one more a month. So they're going to be at every once a month they'll be at our track.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, it's all subject to change. Whatever Troy can get in, as far as getting people to the track, and you know. The other divisions, we kind of dropped the UTV division this year. I think we had a good interest in it, but it never really took off yet. So if that kicks back in, we'll probably add a couple nights of them being exhibition racing again until they actually can make their own night of series kind of racing kind of thing where you can put them on the schedule.
Yeah, all they really need to do is get like an ATV dealer to sponsor that race night, and that should take care of the problem.
Yeah, we just got to get a couple of them in San Diego County area and see if they get interested. Plus, there's a couple of different racing districts for the UTVs. They just got to get into it, too.
Yeah, and that's a pretty easy series to get into. You know, once you buy the side-by-side, new or used, you know, you're pretty much locked in. There's not a whole lot more you need to do. Maybe add some safety equipment either to you or the car itself. And
Usually it's just the safety equipment. Like, we require window nets,
right?
Kind of either that arm strength window nets kind of thing, and just some of the safety stuff. You know, fire extinguishers got to have on the UTV, and that's just minor. I mean, there's a box stock class, and then there's the, you know, full on let's go racing class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the best way, because if you have a side by side and you go to the desert a lot, well, you can't go there a lot. It's a little bit of a trek. You could always, you know, you subsidize your appetite by putting a net on it and a couple other, you know, safety features, and head out to Barona. Have just as much fun, if not more.
I think this year this could be interesting to see about these sport compacts, because, I mean, the thing is, they're just a pretty much an import front-wheel drive car, and I've seen like three or four of them now, guys, you're just building. So, I mean, it's going to be a class that's going to take off really quick. It's really affordable to get into. We'll just have to see how the racing goes between all the people bringing their sport compacts out.
Now, I know Eric Evans has got a couple of them built. Are they going to be rentable this year?
I'm not sure if Eric is actually going to be, like, wanting to drive them all the time, but I'm sure if someone came up and talked to Eric and said, hey, I'm not sure what this is like, can I, you know, buy a ride or
rent
one for the night, I'm sure he would be into it.
Yeah, and that's all it takes to get him. That's all it takes to get him into a, you know, get him back out on the track. That's for sure.
Well, he pretty much has one of everything, I think. Pretty much, he is always ready to go with something.
That is funny that he does have one of each. But you know, some people collect rose bushes, then other people collect race cars.
Well, he has a modified sprint car. The sport compact. I think he's got a pony. I know he has a couple pures. He had a dwarf car for a while. So
I
don't think the only thing he doesn't have right now is a lightning sprint, but I'm sure he could probably find one or get a ride in one.
Oh gosh. Don't give him any suggestions.
Yeah. I know in the off season, he was out at Kokopa and he was assistant flagger out there. So he was still staying busy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, once it's in your system, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. I just sit and wait for the whole season to start up again with us, because, I mean, it's a lot to travel around other places and trying to get stuff done. I did do some traveling now, and we're just waiting for the season to start.
I know, and I know you can't wait. You're all ready to go.
Yeah.
Now, isn't
get
there
back into it, set everything up, and see how the first day of the season goes.
Now, April 4th is opening day, but I think April 3rd, isn't that an open practice? It's a Friday.
I see one on the schedule, but I think the next practice is before the next race. So
okay.
I don't have the schedule printed out yet or anything that I've got one day. I'm sure we're going to have them available Like I said, they are on the website, bronaspeedway.com, and they on Facebook. A lot of people are already, you know, posting the website, the the schedule on Facebook and everything. So,
well, I was talking
plans on which ones you want to go to.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul Dyke last week when he called in, and I think he was telling me the Friday before the first opening there might be a, because he's. I asked him when he's going to take his new car out, and that's what he planned to do, is go out and run that Friday. So, but just check the website. I'm going to double check it because I'd like to come out and see how he does.
So what is he coming back out with, a street? I wasn't able to hear that interview. I think he had him on last week. And
well, what division hasn't he won? I think it's might be street stock.
His boy PJ raced the street stock for a good time.
What's another car? What's another car in that area, in that class or that grouping?
Pure stock would be another one. Yes. I'm pretty much trying to think what he had. I know him and his boys did ponies. That's where they really.
Yeah, that's where they really rocked it.
And all of them have had main event wins and championships in the ponies. Then his sons went on to street stocks. I'd be surprised if he had gotten a dwarf car or something like that, but it'd be cool to see him in a street stock. It's a good class, a good fast class, actually. So yeah.
Well, I think that's
good group of them there.
I think that's what it is. I know he's got the car. It's already gotten, I think, painted. The engine's done. They're getting ready to stick the motor back in it. So, yeah, he's pretty excited. I knew he would be. I told him, how are you going to stay away from racing? You can't stay away from racing. I mean, you can't hot rod around the dealership parking lot all the time. You got to get out on the dirt.
I know he is super busy with that dealership, but I can see that he can get time to go out and play and have fun with it too. And I know because when we did that UTV, he had a UTV and was coming out and enjoying that. So, what's there left to do? And he can do pretty much everything at our track.
Yeah. Yeah. And once you get the bug, as the old saying goes.
Especially because he has boys are in it too. And trying to think, PJ, if he still has his modified or not.
I think he still has it. The boys, I think, have kind of, you know, their careers have kind of pulled him away from the track somewhat. But knowing Paul, once he gets back out on the track, he'll drag the kids out there, and next thing you know, boom, they're back.
They always show up. But yeah. being willing to race or be getting the time to race versus, you know, yeah, they both have full-time, you know, careers now, PJ and Justin. Justin's doing very well with his career and stuff like that. And then PJ is super busy, but it's good to see them find the time to at least come up and watch racing and be part of our family.
Well, Paul finally admitted it. He goes, I just couldn't go out there and sit and watch anymore. He says, it's just, well, I just couldn't do it. He says, I just have to get back behind the wheel. And I go, yeah. We all know what that's like. That can be tough. All right, buddy. Hey, I'm glad you took time out of your day. Get back out there. It hasn't started raining yet. I'm sure you got a few more weeds to pull.
Well, I'm just excited for April 4th. Let's do this.
Let's rock it out, brother. All right, take care, man. We'll talk to you later. BaronaSpeedway.com. BaronaSpeedway.com. Folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com. All the schedule is there. All the, you know, everything you need to know about the racing coming up. And let me tell you, it's going to be wild. parisautospeedway.com. Right now, we got Tony Jones on the line. He's a USAC CRA Sprint Comp Director, and I know you can't wait to fire up the engines, right, sir?
Yeah, it's been a long off season. We're definitely looking forward to it. We start over in Canyon Speedway over in Peoria, Arizona on March 6th and 7th, but we're right back at Paris with the World of Outlaws on the 28th, so we're definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what, folks, if you've never come to this race and watched these guys run, holy mackerel, hang on to your hat, because it is an e-ticket ride. Half mile clay slash dirt and wicked fast speeds, and I always call it like ballet on dirt. You guys are just amazing, the show you put on.
Yeah, these guys, they're definitely some brave souls out there racing these things, you know. 410 cubic inch, and you know, you got the best of both worlds on March 28th out at Parris Isle Speedway with the World of Outlaws. And the World of Outlaws, when we talk about World of Outlaws and the USAC CRA sprint cars, we're talking about wings and non-wings. So you get the kind of best of both worlds with the best of the best, biggest engines. You know, these guys come in with the wings, they'll turn 14 second laps. You know, they'll go out there without the wings, we'll turn 16 second laps. And both lethal machines, man. We definitely put on a good show.
Absolutely. Well, what I need you to do is I'll have Scott give you my contact info, because it, you know, and I'm sure you're having the same situation in your series, but you know, NASCAR is starting to bring out the young guns, you know, the Tyler Reddicks of the world, the John Hunter Nemechek. So I would love to interview some of your up and coming drivers in the series. And with that being said, can you name a few that would be worth keeping your eye open for folks who come to your races? Who are some of the young guns? Who are some of the young guns to watch for?
Yeah, definitely. We got, you know, some young guys like Matt McCarthy, Eddie Tafoya Jr. He's the one that won the 2019 Rookie of the Year honors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Hicks. You know, we're looking for a couple of guys that only ran a few times last year that had some motor problems. They're coming back out this year. It's all about the money. You know, it's these guys come out with sponsors, and they can run the whole series. And some guys, man, they have troubles doing it, you know? So, and that's another thing we're working on this year as well. Last year we had a couple of sponsors come in, All Coast Construction and Flow Dynamics. These guys came in with some cash money. Mm-hmm. And we got bought a bunch of tires, and we gave them away one tire per pit meeting all year long.
Wow.
So the racers, kind of giving back to the racers. I wanted to change it up a little bit this year, and we brought in a couple other guys. So once again this year, we still have All Coast Construction, Flow Dynamics, Woodland Auto Display. And we just picked up a new one, CRC, Component Repair Company. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we're doing is we're trying to get enough money to where I can give away about $1,000 cash or checks every single night. Wow. That we race. So therefore, we go out, set fast time, the guy gets a $100 bill. Win a heat race, $100 bill. Nice. If we have a semi-main, the first guy that didn't transfer out of the semi, we'll give him $100. Hard chargers, hard lux. I'll just make this stuff up as I go throughout the night, just to kind of benefit the racers. But that's you know, goes back to what you was first saying about the rookies and the young guns coming out, and that's what brings these guys out. You know, there's so many people out there that are coming up with these 305 series and 360 series, and you know, it's not the 410s. You know, I mean, you can go out there and buy a good 410 cubic inch motor for $15,000-$20,000. Everybody thinks they have to spend $60,000-$70,000 on these things, and you don't have to, you know. And here it is. These guys are saving money on these 305s and 360s. And, you know, Dave Stahl, at the end of the day, these guys are spending just as much money on those damn things than they are the 410s.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and they're not winning any money. You know, they go out there, they run for free, which doesn't make any sense. But I have a lot of guys asking, you know, man, I can't run with the, you know, Damien Gardner's. Right. I can't run with Jake Swanson and, you know, I just Austin Williams. I can't run with these guys. Well, how do you know?
Yeah, until you get out there.
If you put a 410 in that thing and you go out there and you start banging wheels with Damien Gardner, you get, I mean, that's how you're going to get the good laps. That's how you're going to get the experience. But if you go out there with a 305 car, you know, because you think you can't afford it, the sprint car is exactly the same. The tires are exactly the same, you know. So it's a situation I'm trying to push these 410 cubic inch motors on these guys to make this our series bigger and better. And, you know, every time these guys come out with a supporting series, they think they're helping the situation. They're not. They're just killing it. You're just killing the racing in Southern California.
Yep.
Especially with the non-wing group. You know, we averaged last year, you know, 26 cars a race. And, you know, we're looking for a bigger average this year. So that's not too bad in non-wing sprint car racing, especially in Southern California, you know. So, like I said, this year with the sponsors that we have, great sponsors, you know, we can come up with some money and help these guys out and get more guys pumped up. And once again, push this 410 cubic inch on these guys and, you know, let them know they have a little bit of talent. You can run with these guys.
Well, but yeah,
there's only one way to find out.
That's right. And if you want to cost a lot of money, it's all under your right foot.
That's it.
All you got to do, it don't make a difference if it's a 304 or a 410. It all depends on how you take care of your equipment, how you drive it. And the fastest car doesn't always win. Strategy, you know, plays a big part. And I'm happy. I have two other segments in this hour that's opened up for, like, people other than the Paris and the Barona. I'm more than happy to hook you up with some of your younger drivers. They can call during the week. Some of your big sponsors, like Coast Construction, I would have no problem doing an interview with them during the week and basically thank them for supporting your series. And I'm happy to do it. And this radio show goes all over. So we're on iHeart. We're the whole nine yards. And it's not going to cost you a dime. All you have to do is, you know, send me the contact, who I'm going to talk to. I'll interview them during the week, rerun it either at the 3 o'clock or the 3:45. Because you know as well as I do, when you're out looking for money, you got to have something to give that sponsor back. I mean, God bless them that they want to keep the sport going and they want to support the young drivers. But if you turn around and tell them, hey, I'll get you on the number one listen to motorsport show in Southern California, you know, that's a bonus for you to help sell and get these people more involved. Because you're right. If the sponsors don't get behind it, it's a tough road to hoe.
Absolutely. And the thing with our sponsors this year, they have to understand too that, you know, I promote these guys. I stand up there in a driver's meeting. I'm a talker. You know, I'll pump these guys up. I know who helps the racers, and, you know, and there's guys that need to be on, you know, each and every car. So each and every one of our sponsors, you know, such as All Coast Construction, Floor Dynamics, Woodland Auto Display, CRC that just came on board, Extreme Mufflers, Sway Away, Torsion Bars, Rod End Supply, Surf and Sprint, Ultra Shield, Lyle Pedal Products. We have a couple of new ones that are helping us out with graphics this year, Timeless Entertainment and VGI Graphics. All these guys are going to be on every one of those USAC CRA cars all year long. And when the pictures are coming out and guys, you know, drivers and owners, they send the pictures out to the sponsors and they thank them for being on the cars. And once again, there's not too many other places in the country that are giving away a $100 bill to win a heat race.
No.
Fast time. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're trying to improve on to help the racers out to get to the next race. So with all these sponsors, you know, that's another thing that I'm working on as well. Jessica Swanson, Jake Swanson's wife, is helping me on a proposal right now. And we're about to finish it up, and I'm about to, you know, blast that out to a bunch of companies as well. So we get some more. The more money I get, the bigger I can make this deal. That's and at right. the end of the year, just like last year, we had about almost close to $4,000 left over after sponsorship at the end of the season. Now that money goes to the top five in points.
Wow.
And that's, you know, we just split that up. I don't like to roll money over to the next year. Now, last year was my first year doing the race directing. And once again, pulling these sponsors in, getting a proposal out there, the bigger, you know, the sponsor I get, the more money we get, obviously, and the bigger, you know, the more we can give out to the racers, especially at the end of the year at that point fund. Because I know these owners, they need that money to get their stuff going for the next year.
That's right. Well, consider me your media partner. I'm more than happy to help you out from the radio side. So when you're putting that proposal together, you know, just make sure you get KCBQ AM 1170 Racer Radio on there, because we're on iHeart Radio. We go all around the world. We've got our own free app. Anybody can download, listen to it anytime you like. And I send you the show back. You can put it on the website. You can send it to your advertisers. No, it's all good. It's all good. We all got to work together to make this happen, because if everybody just sits back and waits for you to do it, it's a really tough job, and you need all the help you can get. And, you know, more people in the media need to help you out tremendously, because what you do is just, you're giving back so much to the community, the families, and these young drivers, because you never know, you might have a Tony Stewart hidden in there someplace, or a Kyle Larson. You just never know.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, we need the social media out there. Yep. We need to, you know, we have a guy right now, Lance Jennings, who does all our social media, our stats, and there. I can call him up anytime. He lets me know who, what, when, where. It helps me out. You know, our officials that come to the racetrack, I mean, they just come out and, you know, do a heck of a job. Sammy Barr, Sam Kanaan, Rich, and Sylvia Watkins, you know, my boss, Chris Kearns, and Julie Tanaka. You know, we try to put this deal together every year and do run a bigger, better show, and we improve every time we're out there. So.
All right, cool. Well, last but not least, I also do television here in town. We're the number one watch morning show, and I get a lot of the tracks, especially the drivers coming down with their cars, help to promote different races. Hey, all it is just a haul to San Diego. So if you guys ever want to, you know, take me up on that as well, you know, like I said, Scott will give you my email, and I'm happy to keep your sport alive and well, and hope it grows every year.
So I appreciate that, Dave Stahl, and just I want everybody to keep in mind, I mean, obviously the track that's closest to you guys right now is Parasol Speedway. I always tell everybody that's like the Angel Stadium of dirt track racing. So on March 28th, don't forget, March 28th, where we run with the World of Outlaws. They want the best of both worlds. Man, come out and check it out. It'll be one heck of a race.
Absolutely. Hey, what's your website so people can go take a look?
Well, they can go to USAC.com. Anytime that anybody that's interested in sponsoring or doing anything like that, you can go to TonyJonesRacing.com. Send me an email.
Perfect.
We can work something out and get your name on every one of these race cars every time we're out there on the racetrack.
Yep. You can't get better exposure than being at a racetrack, folks. All right, buddy. Hey, thanks a lot. And I look forward. Stick up with Scott. We'll get you on the show throughout the season, kind of let everybody know how it's going, and I'd love to interview some of your drivers and sponsors.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. Hey, we're going to have to take a small break, but when we come back, a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio. Got a little interview with John Hunter Nemechek. If that name sounds familiar, you'll know why when we come back right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, located 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. That's CertifiedCarCare.net. Also, while you're there, check out Hose Specialties if you want to do that underhood, tricked out fuel lines, water lines, vacuum lines. They have everything needed. They custom make everything for you in-house. At Certified Car Clinic, go to CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. All right, let's go ahead and take a listen to the John Hunter Nemechek, another up-and-coming driver right here on Racer Radio.
Well, you know, folks, there's been a long line of really great NASCAR drivers, and what happens, they have kids. Well, Joe Nemechek had a son, John Hunter, and sometimes a father-son trade-off works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, guess what? This one's working. John has done exceptionally well in his short-lived career, and I was really glad, John, to see you were in the Alesi Legacy Series. I love that car.
Yeah, it was a really good learning tool for myself. That car was a lot of fun to drive. It taught me a lot, and to be able to be a part of the Allison Legacy Series with Donnie Allison and Bobby and Kenny and Donald and Ronald and everyone and the whole family, it was very special. And Donnie has been a huge help to my career through the Allison Legacy Series with my dad as well. And it's pretty cool that back when Dad started, he actually had help from Donnie Allison, and I had the same. So it's been a really neat experience, and luckily we were able to win the championship and quite a few poles, and I think we won 15 out of 18 races one year in that series. So it definitely was a really good series to myself and our whole family.
Absolutely. So you drive for a company named Moore?
No, so I currently drive for Front Row Motorsports here in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're still based in Denver, right?
No, we're based out of Mooresville, North Carolina.
Oh, so he finally moved.
Yeah, and I think you're thinking of Front Row Motorsports.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Thanks for correcting me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, you know, you got to sort of be in the mix. So, actually, you live in Mooresville, so that's not a bad walk to work anyway, right?
Yeah, it's not a bad walk, not a bad run, not a bad drive either. It's about 5 minutes from where I live in Mooresville, so it's an easy commute every day to the shop.
Absolutely. So how's 2020 looking for you?
2020 has been okay for us. We finished 11th in Daytona, had a good strong run in the Daytona 500. And for myself, this being my first year in the Cup Series and rookie year and a lot of first-time places being in a Cup car, I feel like we had decent speed last year in Las Vegas. So we're trying to grow the organization, trying to get better as a team, trying to get better as a company, and continue to improve each week that we're at the racetrack. So I'm looking forward to this weekend at Auto Club. We didn't have the finish that we wanted last week at Vegas. We definitely showed more speed, and everyone kind of knew that we were there. So now it's time to focus on Fontana, and the next race is coming about, and try and do the best that we possibly can.
Well, you know, I've been specifically talking to the young drivers. You know, I'm done talking to all those old guys. You know, they can all retire. It's okay. I'm looking more towards the young guys. And I just interviewed Tyler Reddick. And I asked him a question yesterday. How much does, like, iRacing and the computerized driving simulators, how much does that fall into your training, especially when you're going to tracks throughout the rest of 2020 that you may have never been on? Is that important to you?
Yes and no. From the simulation side, simulation is very important to all of us drivers and team members and engineers and everything, trying to make the most of what we have. We're not allowed to test anymore, so when we show up to the racetrack, we have to be ready to go from the first lap that we run. So going back to iRacing platforms or simulation platforms, it definitely can help. It can help a driver learn the racetrack, but at the same time, I focus more on video and kind of taking notes and looking at data and everything else over the time. So just definitely it has its benefits, but it also has its hurts. And sometimes they don't drive the same on the simulator as they do in real life when you try and plug in your setup that you're running that weekend. But overall, it's a really good learning curve for not necessarily knowing all the racetracks when you come. And it's definitely something that we can fall back on to learn for sure.
I agree with you 100% because I've done some simulators. I've done some $500,000 simulators. I've done the small ones. Then I've gotten it. But once I get into a car, okay, it might have helped a little bit. It might have said, oh, I remember this turn or I remember that turn. But I think butts in the seats, everything. Don't you kind of agree?
Yeah, most definitely. Anytime that you're on the racetrack, you're learning. So any experience that you can get, it definitely helps you as a driver.
You do any dirt racing?
I do not.
Oh, you better come out here to California. Go to the, we've got a dirt class up, or dirt school up right on the beach. God, I can't even believe it. I cannot remember. Can't remember the name of it. It'd be a good school for you to try out. If nothing else, come on, man. Slipping and sliding in the mud, how much fun could that be?
Yeah, I've run the truck races at Eldora through my career and whatnot. And it's a blast. You've had a little taste. Yeah, I've had a taste. I just grew up asphalt racing, running short tracks around the country, and that's what I love to do.
Corey Kruseman. That's the class. If you ever want to try out some dirt, Corey Kruseman, it's right off there on the beach up in the L.A. area. It's just a crazy track. You'd love every minute of it. Okay, so you started on asphalt. Did you do any go-kart racing?
Yeah, I started racing go-karts when I was 5. I got my first go-kart when I was 3, continued to progress through the series, raced motocross stuff through the years, and then around age 12, 13, I decided to get an Allison Legacy car, and we've been stock car racing ever since.
There you go. Well, you know, and it looks to me like it's paid off. I mean, you've done, you know, like I said, I'm really looking forward to see how your year shakes out because, you know, I mean, nobody really knows. But it'll be great to see, and I love watching you young drivers come up because you kind of got that no-fear attitude. except for the fact you don't want to wad up a perfectly good car by making a silly mistake, right?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to wad anything up for making a silly mistake. But us young guys, we're hungry. We're the next generation coming in. So just have to go out there and capitalize on the moment, the opportunity that we get, and capitalize each day. All you can ask for is opportunity and to make the most out of it.
That's all you can do. And then you have to deal with the results and move forward because next day is another day. So I do a lot of interviewing of young drivers as young as 8, 9 years old. And one of the things I make sure they do before the end of any interview is mention your sponsors. So for the folks out there that may not know who sponsors your car, give me the name of the car, the number of the car, and who are your sponsors?
Yeah, this weekend we're in 38 Ford Mustang for Front Row Motorsports with fire alarm services on board. Watch out for us.
Did you get a new helmet?
I'm not sure if I did this weekend or not.
Do you have any superstitions? I mean, do you have to wear the same driving suit, the same socks? We won't go any farther than that.
No superstitions on that standpoint. My routine is pretty much the same every weekend when we get to the racetrack and whatnot. But overall, no superstitions. You just got to go out there and make the most out of every situation that you put yourself in and every opportunity and do the best that you can do. That's all you can ask for.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, good luck this Sunday. I wish I could be there, but unfortunately I got 5 hours of radio I do on Sunday, so I'm kind of bummed out about that. But I do have one of those DVR things, and believe it or not, I've got a TV in my studio. Makes it hard to do radio, but I'll keep my eye out for you, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.